Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you think that a kiss is all in their lips, come on, ladies and gentlemen, you've got it all wrong. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And you're here more to the point. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Come into the Ramble Bosom. It's a pleasure to have you with us. It's FA Cup fifth round time, gentlemen.
It is. Exciting stuff. Exciting stuff.
It genuinely is, because of the amount of shocks that happened in the previous round.
Which, again, feels like yesterday.
It does.
Yeah, it comes around quick.
All those teams, Jim, that we enjoyed watching shocking the nation in the previous round, it carries over.
Still in there.
Into the next round. And this round is where we pick it up from.
For all the sort of media attention around other competitions, I will not let this competition fall by the wayside. We are dragging this competition back into the media spotlight, whether anyone likes it or not.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for years, and they keep putting it on telly.
Exactly. So, coincidence? Justified. We've been vindicated.
This is the only place, perhaps, where, you know, old-fashioned English football pundits, where they go on about foreign managers and British managers are getting a shout and all that kind of stuff. And often
cues at the doctor, that
yes,
sort of thing.
Exactly. We often disagree with them. Perhaps this is the only area where we do agree with them, is that the FA Cup is quite sacred.
Yeah, absolutely.
Completely I don't agree. Think anyone doesn't agree with that.
Richard Scudamore.
Yeah. Well, you know, any people.
All right, David Icke. Keep your, those opinions at the door.
Told you, your conspiracy theories are on your own time, Jim.
Look into them.
Well, let's move on to the fifth round. Okay. Burnley host Lincoln City, one of the fairy tale stories of the Cup so far as Lincoln City. Could Burnley's home form is ridiculously good.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a sense, it's like the toughest draw you could get, because that home form is just it's absurd.
Mm. They'd rather that than Chelsea.
Well,
I think I agree, but I think
the theory doesn't hold up. You're right.
Sure. That's a close run thing, though. I think you know, Burnley have won my tips for the cup, as you guys know, and they're still in there. And I was obviously delighted to see them get this draw, because they're probably going to progress. The thing about Burnley is, from Lincoln's point of view, is that Burnley, they're not a soft-centred team. There's nothing flimsy about Burnley. There's nothing... Mm. You can't... I mean, you could level a few criticisms at Burnley, of course, because you can level criticisms at any team, but you couldn't lay a criticism with them and say they don't fancy it. They always fancy it.
You're
they're
not
always
barge
up for it.
Through them.
No, and I think... This is a nightmare draw for Lincoln, purely because, Chelsea aside, it's hard to think of a tougher game that they could get.
Yeah, you say, Jim, that they're not going to barge through them. Well, 6'4", 16-stone Matt Reed, if there is any barging to be done, he's an ideal candidate for it.
Isn't he too far forward, though, to do that? Well, he's not going to be barging through the midfield. He'd be knackered. He's not dropping deep to pick up the ball and take it around like Burnley's entire midfield. I'm going to stand by my original statement.
I see him with his back... With the two centre halves,
his backs.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, he's a professional athlete.
But I would love Danny Cowley to say to the manager, right, we're going to start off a sweeper, get the ball, and charge, crack on.
That's what English football started out, wasn't it? English football, way back in the day, in the genesis of the game, they thought that passing was seen as quite
fancy
weak.
Fancy stuff.
Because actually the Scots were the ones that started to pass the ball, funnily enough.
Yeah.
And so the English were very much, right, you get the ball and you dribble it, almost like rugby, really, until you sort of... Well, not really. But
are you calling Matt Reed a 19th century player?
I'm saying go back. let's go all the way back. We talk about the history of the Cup, the magic of the Cup. The magic is seeped alongside the history of the Cup. They need to take it all the way. Reed, centre back, roll it out to him, charge.
Vintage. a vintage playing style.
Yeah. You know, actually, WM formation, if you will.
Yeah. Marcus is essentially advocating Matt Reed at the vanguard, like a military manoeuvre.
Yeah.
On a Saturday lunchtime.
Back then, when it was when the passing game was invented, it had a lot of different names. One of which was the combination game, which is very, very sweet. And this is my favourite one. It was also known as scientific football.
There we go.
There you are. Great. Or you could do, I think it was Scunthorpe United. Certainly, I have mentioned this, I believe, a while ago on the podcast. But you could do the old tactic, which a mate of mine on Sunday morning, his dad always used to advocate, is you kick off, you launch it to their fullback and you rush him.
Yeah.
He used to call it the Scunthorpe rush. And I'll tell you who tried it, and I've said this before, was Ali McLeod. Is it Ali McLeod, Scotland manager?
Yeah, Scotland.
He tried it against, I think, in a flipping World Cup qualifier against like the Czech Republic. Czechs just knocked it over them and it hit the post. They didn't score. I don't see a bit of that from Lincoln.
I seem to remember the late, great Graham Taylor adopting like a territory first tactic with England, where they wouldn't mind from the kickoff, they wouldn't mind if they put it out for a throw and right in the corner, because they would then try and box the team in. Like the classic Sunday Warfare league shout, box him in,
But
Big Matt Reid, he will be a danger man for Lincoln. He got a couple at the weekend.
But you look at Lincoln, you know, they are in the fifth round, and sometimes when you look at sides who get that far, which is very rare, of course, you know, a number of statistics we've previously said back that up, but they've often had a kind draw here and there. But actually, beating League One Oldham, I mean, that's a huge achievement in itself. Then beating Ipswich, okay, Ipswich were desperately poor, but they're still a championship side. Yeah. They're beating Brighton, who are odds on for promotion this season, who boast a good lineup.
Yeah,
it's a great FA Cup CV.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It'd be amazing if they can somehow get through. But Theo Robinson, who I believe scored against Brighton and has been a big player for them, has left for Southend, so they're going to miss him.
He put himself in the shot window and snapped up.
Yeah. Well, is that wise or is it not? But they've still got the wonderfully named Alan Power.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, if you need a bit more brute force,
odds are on their side.
He scored against Brighton, I think. So
I found it interesting when Matt Reid he was interviewed, obviously, because the FA Cup brings up all these cliches about part-time players and all stuff. And as you've mentioned to us before, Marcus, Matt Reid only turned pro a few years ago. He's 32 now, isn't he? He used to work in a JCB digger factory or something. It's one of those things where you start thinking, are they making this up?
Yeah.
But anyway, apparently it's true. He said in an interview that he gave, I think after the Brighton game, he said he's not found a centre-back yet that's been as strong as him. He said he's known that there've been defenders of great ability and great athletes and stuff, but he's not found one that's stronger than him yet. And then presuming Burnley play a full strength side, I'd like to see him throw himself into this competition, Burnley. Yeah. But presuming they play a full strength side, he's going to be up against Michael Keane, who is, for my money, probably the most underrated defender in the Premier League this season. So that'll be a fascinating encounter. But Burnley aren't going to get relegated this season. They're 10 points off relegation. There are far more than three teams worse than them in this division. They're not going to go down. So this is a real opportunity for them.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
They should win this game. They go to the quarterfinal. If they get a home draw in the quarterfinal, you'd fancy them to be in the semi.
And if Steich could have a word about the semi-final, come on, we'll have it at our place.
I don't think we'll get away with that. But I mean, the only caveat with the quarter-final thing would be if they were to get sort of, you know, Chelsea at home, it might be tougher. Yeah. But then they match Chelsea a week or two ago.
As well, though, like when it comes to the semi, like joking aside about the home form, like at that point the momentum's so high that and they're, you know, it's something that doesn't really come along in the history of a club like Burnley that often. So everyone's going to pile down to Wembley, create an amazing atmosphere.
But Burnley, the last time Burnley were in a cup final was 1962. They lost to Spurs. They've not been in a cup final since. It'd be huge for them, absolutely huge.
And that is a great point there, because so many times when the likes of Chelsea win the FA Cup or Liverpool or Man City now, Manchester United, Arsenal as well, you know, of course it's a great achievement for them, and it's not poo-pooing that at all, but they're used to winning trophies, quite frankly. When you see the likes of Burnley haven't won the Cup since goodness knows how long, and these teams, you know, we were in the Sunderland then for that League Cup final. It was League Cup, not FA Cup, when they were beaten 3-1. Those Sunderland fans, like, they couldn't believe their luck, but they were just loving the fact that they were in a Wembley final.
Marcus, I was at the FA Cup final.
Oh, Wigan.
The Wigan one.
And
that was insane.
Yeah.
Partly because they were having such a great time and because it was an amazing upset, but partly because the Man City fans were fuming. Beyond belief. I've never seen, so I think I said it at the time, actually, I've never seen so many angry men in my entire life. But you're right, and obviously as a Portsmouth fan, I don't want to go down Uncle Albert memory lane too much, but it's never going to be taken away.
So if Burnley advance to the latter stages of this tournament, that's a little bit fairy tale as well, but obviously they've got to get past the mighty Lincoln, who have won 18 out of 22 since October.
Yeah, they've won all their games since the last since the Brighton game as well.
They have indeed.
They're very confident.
It's an intriguing one. They'll need a rousing team talk from their manager. And it was just, it's obviously a great shame that Graham Taylor's passed, because he's got links to Lincoln, of course. Because he's the type of guy that you would imagine they would maybe have got in to give like a little team talk to boost them up, much like Napoli did the other night with El Diego.
When I saw this happened. First thing was, oh, this is funny. Second thing was, how is Marcus going to get this in the running order? It's FA Cup week. I didn't doubt you. I knew you'd do it somehow.
How long did it take you to find that? How hard did your crowbar work?
Yeah. That was a good 10 minutes thing. Yeah. But so just quickly to the Champions League. Napoli, Diego Maradona addressing the team in the changing room pre-kickoff. I say addressing the team, Maurizio Sarri, the manager, said Maradona spoke for about 30 seconds, but it has a positive effect because we started the game well. And they lost 3-1. So maybe if you'd have prepared a bit more, they would have got a draw.
You take the positives where you can.
You certainly do.
Casemiro scored an absolute blinder in that, and I would imagine that's probably all we're going to say about the Champions League this week.
For the moment, Jim, for the moment.
That was a beautiful goal. It was
delightful.
They're going well, Napoli, this season.
They certainly are. Back in the FA Cup, though, Huddersfield Town host Manchester City.
Well, before we move on to Huddersfield, I wanted to point out that Lincoln are 19-2 with Bet365 to cause the upset this weekend and beat Burnley. So £10 will return £105, including steak. Big ask for them, but you never know. Those imps might just do the business.
That's right.
Come on, imps.
Huddersfield, Gabriel Jesus is out for a while, so Huddersfield won't have to deal with him.
That's very sad, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Given the start he made.
Sergio Aguero will probably slot in.
Yeah, probably a good job they didn't get rid of him, isn't it? It's not ideal having that backup option.
It's a nice option off the bench, isn't it, Sergio Aguero?
It's weird, isn't it, that we're talking about... who's going to reply? Oh, yeah, Aguero. Wasn't he statistically the deadliest striker in the Premier's history or something?
Ian Acho's sitting there thinking, what the... How has this happened to me?
I know, eh? But Huddersfield are in good nick.
They are doing very well.
They've won their last six and in all competitions, and 12 out of their last 14 in all competitions. Wagner's got them going, of course. They are really fighting for promotion as well.
There's been a lot of talk of Newcastle and Brighton because of Brighton's history and just missing out, and because Newcastle are obviously a very big club.
Huddersfield
are only 4 points behind Brighton. It's nowhere near over yet. And as you said, Marcus, I think you might have been naughtily alluding to David Wagner's behaviour against Leeds United.
Are we going to see that?
We might do.
A last-minute winner for Huddersfield.
Huddersfield's home record is very good, but old Pepe did play a pretty strong team against Palace, didn't he? It's probably quite difficult to play a less-than-strong team when you're Man City manager anyway. this is not a walk in the park for Man City, shall we say.
This is one of those ones where Man City, if they turn it on like they did against West Ham, because let's be honest, you know, Huddersfield Town are by far the inferior side, as most sides in the land are against Manchester City. City could turn up and pass them to death and win 4-0. But you never know. On another day, Huddersfield, with that, with their recent wins, the feel-good factor down at the club at the moment, they will really, really fancy this, and they'll be up for it. And watching the celebrations that Huddersfield were doing with the players and the fans, you know, a bit like Klopp used to do at Dortmund. Wagner, maybe it's kind of a modern manager from Germany.
They've worked together quite closely, haven't they, in the past, Wagner and Klopp.
Yeah, and the way the fans and the players were kind of celebrating with each other, that kind of closeness, there is such a feel-good factor down at Huddersfield.
And there's one of the great things about these sort of fixtures as well is if things do start to go Huddersfield's way, like, you know, who knows, they get an early penalty or something, or some, you know, they get some rub of the green that
Fernandinho gets sent off
their way. suddenly all the pressure of that being a difficult game goes on to City, because you get these games where they look at it and think it's going to be a relatively comfortable win. If suddenly it isn't, like, the rest of the fixture list looms so large over that team and the pressure builds. I love that aspect of it.
Will we see a prickly Pep afterwards?
Probably. His main mode at the moment.
Something that I don't think we talked about and I really wanted to bring to everyone's attention, and forgive me if we have mentioned it and I've forgotten, is, have you seen that Manchester City have got a travelling outfit? They've got a travelling outfit.
Barcelona have got one. Remember the double denim?
So basically, every time Man City goes to an away game, they've got an outfit, like an approved outfit, presumably provided by a sponsor, which everyone has to wear.
Wow.
So it's like jeans, trainers, a white shirt, a grey jumper, and like a sort of almost like a like a bomber jacket.
It's a uniform, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's called, yeah, a uniform if you want to call it that, or a traveling.
It's probably so that it's easier to spot them in a group. You know, so, if they stop off at a service station, no one gets lost. Pep Guardiola's not even to feel worry.
Football's gone too far. But they're only really going to be photographed walking from the coach to the ground.
Yeah, but most teams would have. They would provide suits, wouldn't they? Most players travel in suits.
Quite. A suit and a club tie.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Uh-huh. You don't need to... that's not broken. You don't need to fix that.
Yeah, but you know what modern day...
Maybe they're trying to sell them.
Yeah, but you know what modern day players are like? They're always seen in trainers and obviously those kind of modern tracksuit bottoms and that kind of thing. So maybe they're just trying to make the players feel a bit more relaxed.
I disapprove of it. Yeah. And that's why I hope they get beaten by Huddersfield.
Do you not remember when Barcelona had the double denim?
Yeah.
There was a denim shirt.
I do remember that. But when they turn up, there was a couple of pictures in the newspaper of Pep Guardiola and a couple of the City players all dressed the same. But because I understand the point about the suit and the club tie, but that's because that's a traditional thing, right?
Yeah, breaking from tradition.
When you put people in casual clothing and make them all wear the same casual clothing,
that is a bit
they
weird.
Look like they're in like a two-bit boy band. If it was me, I would say, right, you're wearing that, you're going to wear that for the game. Put your boots on, you're wearing the jeans for the game. See how you like it then.
See how you like it. But, how do you like it?
To be that would be brilliant, though, wouldn't it, if that happened?
To be semi-serious for a moment, Huddersfield, the problem with Huddersfield is they're not really free scoring, are they? They don't score a huge amount of goals. I think they're
and they're playing a much better team.
That's a tough asset.
Disadvantage.
they've scored 18 goals fewer than Newcastle this season. So I think they've only got 42 in the league so far. So it's going to be tough for them. Very tough.
Indeed.
They're 7-1 with Bet365 to upset the odds and win this one. So £10 will return £80, including stakes.
I think that's not a bad bet. Middlesbrough hosting Oxford United. Michael Appleton will be very relieved that this match is not being televised.
He's still fuming, isn't he? About everything.
If you remember, ladies and gentlemen, he said, we don't really play when the cameras turn up. So
hopefully you won't be able to find a live stream.
Maybe he had a word. So, with TV cameras are coming. Marcus, here's a load of money. Nah.
I don't think there was any danger that Middlesbrough home to Oxford United was going to be on the television. And can I just say, I wholeheartedly endorse that decision.
Yeah, well, Appleton, he's a bit down on the cup, isn't he? He doesn't want them on TV. And then he did say the Oxford United's match, I think it was this week against Southend United, was 10 times more important to him than the game against Middlesbrough. They lost that 2-0. He's going to have to change his priorities very quickly.
They're also, this is another team who don't... Look, I'm not being flippant about Middlesbrough Oxford not being on TV. Neither of these teams score. Middlesbrough are just desperate for goals, partly because they don't attack and partly because they've got really no prolific goal scorers.
They're great at defending.
And they are, absolutely. Yeah. But Oxford United are the lowest scorers in the top half of League One. So, this will probably be 5-4. I'm not predicting that.
Yeah, well, the thing with this sort of game, though, is obviously Middlesbrough have got a look at this, and, you know, they're clearly a far better side than Oxford, so you wonder, will they actually come out a bit more? And the defensive record they have should give them a bit of, you know, confidence. Maybe in that situation, would you not be looking at the team thinking, all right, actually, we're very good at this, maybe we can take a few more risks and, you know, foray forward more, but... This is exactly the sort of thing where you're getting upset, isn't it? Where a team comes out of their style when they change a little bit to perhaps deal with the opposition and maybe they'll get it wrong and get pumped.
What Oxford United need is you, Jim, goading Middlesbrough going, go on, just attack them.
Go on,
you've got a great defensive record. You've conceded less in the league than Arsenal, Man City and Liverpool.
Yeah.
Go at them.
You're talking about a team who squeezed past Accrington Stanley 1-0 in one of the most unremarkable FA Cup results in living memory.
Yeah, well, Middlesbrough midfielder Adam Clayton has said that Borough should have a go and win games, which I like. I mean, it's
the
a direct...
of the manager's job.
Yeah, exactly.
The insight
guys,
like that.
We haven't thought about this.
They sort of do play a bit like that, though, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, they've won one in their last 11 matches, so maybe they should heed his advice.
Did he say that scoring a few more goals would be the sweetest thing?
I thought Karanka will be absolutely furious that he said that, because he's generally furious about everything, isn't he?
I think Middlesbrough just... Adam Clayton's right. I mean, Middlesbrough just need to go out there and try and, you know, play for some pride in the name of love.
Gordon Bennett.
Any more? Do you want to just do them?
No, I wish I planned it earlier, to be honest. I could have lined up a few, but no, I haven't got any more.
You'd say, how many goals do you want to score? He said one. So there we are. Let's move on. It's the name of the U2 bassist. Yeah. Millwall are at home to Leicester City. Now this, Jim Campbell, will be interesting.
What
to see
am I doing, Marcus?
What, you're rubbing your thighs.
Yes, I am.
Is this a thigh rubber for
well,
you?
Well, for me, in that it's just, I think an upset is very much, that counts as a thigh rubber, doesn't it? Upset.
You think Leicester might win?
Hey!
You got to do that every FA Cup show.
Unfortunately, Pete's not here to sound the klaxon. No. Otherwise, that would have gone a few times. mentioning this fixture. But it's interesting to see what Ranieri does, because he said recently, in the last game, of course, that he was too loyal to his players. Mm. Now, they're in a relegation scrap. They've still got the Champions League as well. This is a chance for him to try a few different names to prove what they can do. Because Champions League, they're going to have to give it their all. Like, you just can't go out with a whimper to Sevilla. Come on, that would be very, very sad indeed.
Be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Just get pumped in the first leg. Make the second one utter irrelevant.
Yeah, all right. We'll come on to them in a minute. So you've got to go and go to Sevilla and give the fans something to cheer about, or at least try. You're away to Millwall, who are a couple of divisions below you. This is a chance for him to try a few players, because he said he's too loyal. Mix it up a little bit. Damari Gray was great in the previous round, of course, against Derby.
But he did that against Derby, though. And they only just about scraped through, didn't they?
Well, but this is another chance.
Yeah.
Well, it's a chance to build confidence, isn't it, against with respect to Millwall lesser opposition, and just remind those players that, they can play and that they can actually compete, because that's exactly what they've not been doing. They've not been competing. No. They're just their heads are dropping the moment that, like, that the game goes away from them, whether that be conceding or whether them just not, making enough of a dent on the game itself. And they have to get out of that mindset if they're going to get out of this relegation situation.
It's very true. Is it fair to say, and this is not commenting on the reputation of the club per se, it's more what they did to Watford and to Bournemouth in previous rounds. And again, Millwall have had a great run in this cup.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say they will look to bully and pressurise Leicester? God, because that is a very effective tactic against them this season.
It sounds ridiculous, but I feel like I could bully Robert Huth and Wes Morgan at the moment. I just get one in a headlock, get the other on a Chinese burner, and they just go, oh, stop it.
That is a video idea. I'd be happy to get behind.
Shame Big Matt Reid and Lincoln are not playing,
isn't it?
Because he would be the battering ram.
He's got four hat tricks on his own, Matt Reid, against it. Leicester played a completely different back five against Derby, and they scraped through after extra time. I was really disappointed. I don't know if I said it at the time, but I was really disappointed with Derby and the team they picked. Mm. I thought it was a bit cowardly, actually. Not to disrespect the players who played, because a few of them gave a good account of themselves. But Derby could have beaten Leicester. It's a local derby, a lot at stake. Leicester's players, I mean, half of those players don't really play very often at all. I'll be fascinated to see which team Ranieri goes with this time, purely because I think he's flapping around. He doesn't know what players are in form, what players aren't. He doesn't know what team to pick. Millwall, as you guys have both just said, have got a good tradition this season in the FA Cup. They've knocked out better teams.
And they're unbeaten in 12 as well.
They've beaten better teams than Leicester, by the way, as well, so far.
Two of them, yeah.
Yeah, so this will be... Millwall will smell blood here, seriously. And this could be a very, very difficult afternoon for Leicester. It really could.
Absolutely. I mean, part of the... Going back to what you said about Ranieri not knowing what players in form, Luke, isn't it more that, like, that literally none of them are?
I can't... Do you know what I can't believe? And I've said this a few times, and I did the newspaper roundup on the radio the other day, and I mentioned it there. No one could give me an answer for this, and I don't know the answer. But the fascinating thing for me is Leicester's back five, who won the Premier League last season. Take a moment to let that sink in. Mm. We're not talking about a team who had a decent season last season and they came seventh. They won the Premier League last season, that back five. He played exactly the same back five last week in the league, and they were obviously beaten. They were beaten fairly handily as well. And moreover, who's the Morgan? I just don't accept that they've aged overnight to that extent, because I think there are probably 45-year-old centre-backs, ex-top level centre-backs, who could position themselves in the penalty area and head balls away every 5 minutes with no problem. But at the moment, Huth and Morgan can't dominate any part of the pitch, which was their biggest strength last season. I would be absolutely riveted to know what the hell has gone on.
And even if Ranieri has put his feet up and go, we'll be fine, and coast through games, still, those players still go out on the pitch and play the game. I mean, with Chelsea, when they sort of chop and change managers, and, Avram Grant was in charge of the side, but was he really? Were the players managing themselves? With Di Matteo, was he really in charge? Was it John Terry picking the side? There was a bit of disarray at the top, but they still got to Champions League finals. A different calibre of side. But the point remains is you can remove a manager, And performance can drop, like we saw with Chelsea when Mourinho, he suddenly annoyed everybody. But whatever Ranieri's doing, it can't be this bad. It can't be to these spiraling levels of poor performance bad.
And you talk about Matt Reid and how they, Steve Morrison doesn't take any prisoners up front for Millwall. No. Anyway. He's a very big, strong forward. So there'll be a battle there. you can see Millwall at home as well. So you can see Millwall winning this one, but actually winning this one fairly easily. I'm not predicting that to happen, but it's easy to see that possibility.
Indeed, yeah. We're going to talk more about the FA Cup after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. Wolves host Chelsea. It's hard to see anything other than an away win here.
Really
it's
is.
It's Costa v Costa.
It is.
Costa's going to win that one.
Although, didn't Costa come off the bench in the last Chelsea game, I think? Chelsea have... I know, Jim, you want to talk a bit about this, but Chelsea have... really gone under the radar in the FA Cup this season, like ruthlessly efficient. Yeah. Not many people have been talking about them doing the double this season, but I agree with Marcus and what he said over the last week or two. They're a shoo-in for the league, in my opinion. Mm. And they've not really seen any trouble at all in the Cup so far. I think this will probably be a bridge too far for Wolves
as
well.
Yeah, I think they are a good shout for the double. And the last team to do the double was Chelsea in 2010. And just not having European football has just... They look breezy, don't they, Chelsea? Mm. They just look like they're just so sort of capable and full of running and energy. Yeah. There's no sign of any fatigue there at all, and I think that's going to give them the platform to have a serious sort of getting both trophies, given the quality they've got in the squad.
Mm. Wolves down in 18th in the Championship as well. I mean, some of the other sides we talked about, Millwall's unbeaten in 12, and even Lincoln, you know, have gone on a great run since October, but you can't say the same about Wolves. Yes, they got that win against Liverpool away in the Cup, and it was a great win. But Liverpool were in a bit of a poor patch at that time. Although, still, you can't take anything away from that. Mm. But you just can't see anything.
There's no one near Chelsea in the country, is there?
No, and I think the other thing about Chelsea is if they rest players for the Cup, I mean, they played Brentford last time at home, and that's an easy fixture, and so it proved to be. And he rested players. But if you look at the players he actually stuck with and who he played, and Begovic came in and played in goal, he's a really serious seasoned Premier League
was a great
operator.
Keeper.
Yeah, John Terry, speaks for himself. Azpilicueta's played a lot this season. Zouma's proven at the top level, come off on a bad injury. Fabregas is seasoned. Pedro played. Willian started. They're not doing a Liverpool and completely like wholesale changing the whole thing and bringing, and not only that, but bringing in players with next to no experience. So that's a great example from Conte. Another thing he's done right so far in this Cup is he's rotated in the correct way because he then brought on Costa and he brought on Ivanovic, didn't he, in that game as well. Again, two top quality experienced players. So, and he had Hazard on the bench if he needed him. So they're taking this competition seriously, and I don't think a lot's been made of that this season. I think the FA Cup, Chelsea's performances in the FA Cup have been largely ignored because they've won games they've been expecting to win. Mm. When they breeze past Wolves, which I think they will, and if they get a tough draw in the next round, then we'll see a bit more about what they're all about. But so far, so good for them.
Yeah, well, they may be away in the Cup, but West London will have a home fixture in the FA Cup to feast their eyes upon.
Yeah, your boys.
Fulham versus Spurs.
You're a frequent visitor to Craven Cottage, Marcus. You've probably got a few fiercely held opinions about this matchup.
I go every now and then. I remember seeing Fulham beat Spurs 4-0 in a Cup game once, and it feels like a long time ago. but this is a nice one for Spurs, especially for their scouts, as they normally take players from Fulham anyway.
Same a trip.
They're killing two birds with one stone. Who should we go and see? Where are Fulham playing? Oh, they're playing us. Great. We can just go along. 16-year-old Ryan Sessegnon, he's being talked about in glowing terms. He'll be a Spurs player soon.
So what?
For a really low fee, no doubt.
Is he not been tied up? Has he not been tied up to a contract or anything like that?
I don't know.
Okay. You seem to be pretty exasperated by that.
It does happen. Pochettino, who's been playing down reports linking him to the Barcelona job, could derail them.
No, I don't think that's... I mean, the reality is that's probably inaccurate, isn't it? I mean, he's an Espanyol man through and through. He said that. He said he doesn't fancy that.
He says that now until the contract's put in front of him.
We have to take him on his word on that front. If we're going to talk seriously about Pochettino moving from Spurs to another club, then you've got, if you're a Spurs fan, you've got to be worried about some sort of managerial cycle where the PSG job becomes available because he played for them and he's on record saying that he likes PSG.
Yeah.
You know, an apocalyptic scenario for a Spurs fan would presumably be that
taking over from Wenger.
Well, would be that Simeone goes to Arsenal.
Yeah,
and then that frees up
Atletico.
Pochettino to go to Atletico. Because there's no.
Can we have odds on that? Just having a lump of money on it.
That would improve your day a lot if those two things happen in the same space.
Yeah.
But Spurs, you mentioned Chelsea about the cup doubles.
I don't see anything in this Barcelona thing. I genuinely don't see anything in that.
I don't think the story's going to go away for a while, though, because it's an easy link to make, isn't it?
Koeman's
been linked as well, and that will also run.
Koeman's more realistic.
Well, I was saying Koeman, Arsenal, then Barcelona. You might just think, nah, I'll skip out. Arsenal, go straight to Barcelona. Yeah. Think of the Twitter feed, is all I'm saying. Spurs are one of the sides who really could go out and win the cup this year, unless Chelsea faced them. But, well, they've beaten Chelsea, though.
Spurs were entire. They were entire round last time out.
Oh, they were. Wickham,
you know, they played. They rested a lot of players that game. Only one or two of those Spurs players would. With what you call regular starters, although all of them have been in the matchday squad, you know, more often than not.
But I mean, Spurs are playing in Europe this week, and then and then obviously this game's coming along.
I think they play Stoke in the Premier League, the next Premier League game as well. So that's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, but Fulham have looked better of late. They're quite a nice side to watch. Fulham, they've got goals in them. Only Norwich and Newcastle have scored more in the Championship than Fulham this season. You know, and there's a fair few goal threats as well in there. Sonny Aluko.
Yeah, Chris Martin as well.
There's a few others. Piazon, the guy on loan from Chelsea.
They've got a good amount of mental.
Yeah, Hansen's decent. Yeah, they've got some good players, actually. If this is one of those games, again, that Spurs could just blow them away.
Mm.
But actually, if Fulham can dig in and get under their skin quite early on, then it could be a bit of an interesting one how that pans out. And if Spurs rest players...
Well, Spurs have Vertonghen coming back, don't they?
Yeah.
So that's a big boon for them.
But Fulham can just use this as a bit of a free hit. I mean, they're 6 points off the playoffs with the game in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there and enjoy yourselves. Test yourself against the top level. See how you get on. Enjoy it. That's what I would say.
They've grown into the season, Fulham. They didn't start very well. And they are a bit inconsistent, as most teams are. But Jukanovic is a county operator. He got Watford promoted, of course, and then they went their separate ways. But he's building a side. And Fulham, if they don't get a promotion this season, which I don't think they will, in my opinion, next season, you know, they really should. If they can keep players, I mean, the trouble is Chris Martin's on loan from Derby. And he's done pretty well. And if they can put away a few more penalties, for crying out loud.
that's the
thing with Spurs.
They'd probably be top of the league.
If Fulham get into the box, they think, just hack away.
Just foul them.
If we give away a penalty,
share
so
the
okay.
fouls around. we get 11 of those.
But it could be an interesting one. I hope that there's a contest there.
Spurs are 13-2 with Bet365 to win the FA Cup this season. So £10 will return £75, including stake, should Poch's boys lift the trophy.
Big Poch, eh? Blackburn host Manchester United. Will we see a fan protest for their irresponsible owners of Blackburn Rovers?
Even if they do, Venky's not going to see it, are they?
It's just a dreadful state, Blackburn.
It's such a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you see a club like that who are just tangled up in the mess of
modern football,
modern football and poor ownership. You talk to any Blackburn fans, and they're just like, "We're not going anywhere until they leave."
Yeah,
it's so sad to hear that.
Clubs become investment vehicles in the worst case scenario.
Because I mean, I know Newcastle fans. I understand why they dislike Ashley and all that kind of stuff. But at least they're top of the league. Do you know what I mean? At least
and Ashley's there, isn't he? Ashley's at least present for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they wish he wasn't, but I know what you mean. At least he's sort of spending to accumulate a little bit. I mean, look, I'm not trying to stick up for Ashley. I'm just saying, I'm saying you put the two together. That's how bad it is at Blackburn. You'd much rather someone like Mark Ashley than Venky's. It really is a piss poor situation.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're a proud old club like Blackburn. I mean, they're probably going to get relegated from the Championship this season. It looks like, I mean, Rotherham are dead and buried and Blackburn are in real trouble. They're a team who were certainly around if they weren't founding members of the Football League. They were big players back then, won a lot in the 19th century and won the Premier League in 95, of course. So it's sad to see.
Mm.
But we see this time and time again in football, don't we? And this is, do you know what? I don't mean this in a patronising way. For Man United to come to Ewood Park and to have a game on TV, and is it on TV? I think it is, isn't it? Or Man United, inevitably on TV.
Yeah.
That's at least a little bit of a sort of Busman's holiday for them to enjoy it down. And they might get a goal, they might even cause an upset. But overall, bleak times for them. And many people who maybe don't listen to the show because we talk about it a reasonable amount, and they won't even be aware that Venky's are still there. Because that's a story from 5 years ago.
Steve Keane and...
Yeah, exactly. So it's terrible to see, really.
It's a great shame. And Owen Coyle, his position is under threat as Blackburn are Well, battling against relegation.
I don't think Aaron Cole's a very good manager. Well, I mean, he's not, but, I mean, he's not given the best chance, is he?
No. He's not been able to bring in any players he wants, you know. I mean, there's a few low knees knocking around.
Which,
here
again, is not necessarily a bad thing. No, I'm just kidding, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. But what about Man United? We talked up Spurs and Chelsea and even Burnley's chances in the FA Cup. Manchester United. Mm.
Mourinho loves the FA Cup as well, doesn't he?
He does.
So, yeah, they're clearly another one having a real go, and this is it's an ideal draw for them.
And you could imagine Ibrahimovic is thinking to himself, you know, I'm not going to win the Premier League, but I'd love to get my hands on the oldest cup competitions in the world. You know?
Well, what's interesting is that all of the big guns, aside from Liverpool, are still in there, and none of them are playing each other.
Yeah.
So it's, the next round could have some blockbusters in it, really.
You are right, actually. I mean, hopefully there are some cup sets, but you wouldn't have thought that there would be one at Ewood Park.
If you look at the team that United played against Wigan, they obviously just breezed past them 4-0. They played a lot. I mean, Rooney played, Mkhitaryan played, Mata played, Martial played. They kept a good core. Fellaini played. They got a good core of top pros there. He didn't rotate a huge amount. So, as you say, he's taken it sort of at least semi-seriously. And I'm interested in that Griezmann situation. Did you read about that?
The Griezmann situation is kind of going on, isn't it, with who's he going to sign after Atletico Madrid and so on and so forth, despite him saying that he's happy at Atletico Madrid.
Why is he continuing? Oh, you know more about this than me. Why is he continually linked away from the club, though? Because they're not a traditionally huge club. Is basically,
it seems inevitable, doesn't it? But he himself pretty much went through the options and said that he's happy
strange.
At Atletico. But also, he had a lot of praise for Simeone and said, Simeone has added so much to my game. I wouldn't be, thought of as being among the top players in the world if it weren't for him. So that's a very public show of loyalty, isn't he? But he said he'd ideally stay in Spain because it suits his style. And he said Barcelona have got that front three that's completely fixed, so he wouldn't end up going there. He's an Atletico Madrid player, so it's impossible for him to go to Real Madrid. He said he doesn't like the look of Germany. France isn't for now. And with England, he said he doesn't really like the weather. And he says his suit of play would just suit Spain better. So it's interesting, isn't it, that he's basically ruled himself out of absolutely everywhere. Mm. Although maybe when he says France isn't for now, he means PSG's maybe for the summer.
Yeah. I did find it funny how he went through all the options when he was like, well, Barcelona, because if they didn't have
Craigie Brune.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. It would be phenomenal if he went to Man United.
This could be the season that PSG break through and win the Champions League. I mean, we saw them against Barcelona. They were magnificent.
Phenomenal.
If they do that, I mean, surely he'd be more likely to go there than if they didn't do that.
That was outrageous. Let's talk a little bit about the Champions League, because that will probably segue neatly into the last FA Cup fixture we've got to talk about.
Just to put this out there in case Antoine is listening, I mean, if you're worried about the weather in England, just get yourself, base yourself a club down in the southwest. Cornwall, very nice down there.
There's more rain.
The weather's beautiful most of the time, though. Come on.
Most of the time.
Okay. The weather's nicer there than it is in Manchester.
Well, it is. But
come and get me, please, from Portsmouth, Luton.
No, Plymouth. I was just saying, you can go to Plymouth, you go to Truro City.
I think Bristol's the place, mate.
Is it? All right,
Sandbanks. Great city. Have Sandbanks got a team?
Actually, the west coast of Britain gets a lot more rain than the east coast of Britain. Statistically, look it up, ladies and gentlemen. You will be amazed.
Okay.
So, Norwich City it is. In the Champions League, Arsenal, they did play. Didn't they? They turned up. They turned up.
Well, did they turn up?
Physically. They're away to Sutton United in the Cup, but they played Bayern Munich, of course. They were beaten 5-1. Do you know what? At 1-1, Xhaka misses that chance, and then Sanchez has a chance. And I turned around to my mate just before it went 2-1, and I went, I'll tell you something. Arsenal can get away with, they can get a draw here, or dare I even suggest they can go and win it. And as soon as Lewandowski scored and the body language and the floodgates opened, it was like,
oh, absolutely, you could tell. Ospina wasn't ready for that. He should have done better on that. It was a fantastic header in the right place. He might not necessarily have saved it had he been positioned better, but you've got to give yourself a chance in situations like that as well. Robin's first goal, Coquelin standing off him, you see it. Let's not talk about it too much because it happens every year, but like the way he sort of stood off Robin, it's as if those players don't get that at that level you have to step it up and you have to close down every blade of grass almost. Look what we were saying about Burnley the other week, about how they did the most running they've done all season against Chelsea. If Burnley get that, why don't Arsenal?
But can they step up against Sutton and cover every rubber patch of 3G?
You'd hope so.
Yeah.
It's a chance to rebuild some confidence.
It's the last thing they want, though, isn't it?
Well, it is, isn't it? Because it's potential banana skin. Eggs all around, so when you fall over, there's egg on your face as well.
Is it a potential banana skin? I mean, they are a non-league side.
If it were me, I'd give my right arm to play blooming Leicester at home this weekend. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of leagues here with a plastic pitch.
Yeah.
The last thing you want.
With the Robbie Foley goalie watching on.
Yeah. We'll scrape through it and just pick up loads of injuries.
Do you know what's going to happen? That's Sutton United, they're going to get an injury to the keeper and Wayne Shaw's going to come on and save the penalty.
Yeah.
Right. And he's going to thwart them.
Yeah. It'll probably be a replay as well, which we absolutely don't need. Then we'll ruin it at the Emirates.
I love the manager. We talked about him before, Paul Doswell, the manager of Sutton a while back. Yeah, yeah. But he, something that we didn't actually mention, he doesn't get paid to manage them.
Whoa.
Wow. Because his firm sponsors the club. So he effectively pays to manage them.
All right.
Yeah, he's not drawing a salary or anything like that. He just loves the club. He also said, and Marcus, you touched on this, but just to add a bit of meat to the bones, he said, I've got no ambition to be a manager in the league. I don't see it as a holy grail. If we did get to the playoffs, I think there'd be a panic here. It's a volunteer-led club. I work, the chairman works. None of us could cope with the amount of stuff that goes with the Football League. Mm. We'd much rather be the best non-league club we can be. I don't know how you can do that, though.
Yeah.
So you can't really finish above seventh or something.
It's a paradox.
Is it rugby, I forget, rugby union or rugby league, where they, if you get promoted, you have to turn professional, but a lot of them don't want to. Yeah. And then there's some questionable results towards the end of the season.
I would like to distance myself from that.
All right. Allegedly. But
Marcus, we'd much rather be the best non-league club we can be. Are they going to be the last words Arsene Wenger hears in his managerial career?
Well, it's like with Matt Reed, the aforementioned Lincoln City striker. When he turned professional at 28, you know, he had to take a pay cut because he finishes his full-time work. And obviously you get the full-time work and then the part-time pay being a footballer, you're going to get the full-time work. But at that level, it doesn't pay that much. And so with Sutton United, they probably quite like the lifestyle they have. They get the buzz of going and playing football on a Saturday afternoon for a decent outfit at a decent level. Yeah. But they all carry on with their lives and are not too tied into football. Maybe that's the way it should be.
I think the gap between Arsenal and Sutton will probably be too big.
You think so?
But I was, you know... The performance and the body language against Bayern Munich was horrendous to watch. It was difficult to see. And I think this fixture going away to Sutton on a plastic pitch as well, you're worried about injuries, you're worried about the mindset of those players involved. It'd be a fascinating game to watch. I mean, with apologies to Arsenal fans who've had a tough week already. Bet365 are offering odds of 14-1 for Sutton to win at the weekend. So £10 returns £150, including stake. If that happens, that will go down in absolute folklore. The fact that we're even talking about it will go down in folklore for as long as we're football fans, put it that way.
Quite. Guys, I want you to be honest with me now. You both know I'm quite a hapless man.
Mm-hmm.
Is the problem me?
It could be. What do you suggest as a solution to the issue?
Know.
What
are you going to do? Yeah, it's a very dark answer to that I don't want to think about.
Become a Spurs fan?
I'd like the Arsenal fans to get out the bed sheets, Jim Campbell out, get him away from the stadium. Well, there we are, poor old Arsenal. Maybe they can. It's not really redemption, is it? Winning against Sutton,
but you know, we'll redeem ourselves when we win 3.5-0 against Bayern in the return leg.
Indeed. Right, Luke. What is our bet of the week?
The bet of the week with Bet365 is James Holland is back after his win last week. Listen to James Holland. Winner stays on, of course. This time around, he selected Middlesbrough to beat Oxford United and under 2.5 goals to be scored in the game, which is available at 13-5. So £50 on that will return £180, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 80 to gamble, and please gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk. James Holland, you are back up in the hot seat. We'll be looking out for a Middlesbrough 1-2, I guess, which is the result it essentially has to be for his bet to come in. So £180 could be heading to Prostate Cancer UK. We'll have our fingers crossed. If he gets this wrong, a new listener has to step up. So prepare yourselves.
New challenger may be needed. Right, let's look ahead to the weekend, Luke.
Yeah, we've got some correspondence from listeners here. This is actually feeding in back into the Arsenal thing from Joe Lowe on Facebook. He says, I'm looking forward to watching Arsene Wenger take on Paul Doswell. Paul Doswell's a man with 7 kids and a construction company and manages a football team in his spare time. Doswell is a proper football man who admitted that his last 2 kids were an error and invited all the Sutton fans back to Gander Green Lane's bar after they beat Wimbledon away. Wenger won't even admit that signing Francis Jeffers was an error, but I can't picture him having a beer with the fans. Hashtag clash of styles. But to be fair, Joe, I don't know if you guys knew this, but Arsene Wenger actually grew up above a pub.
Did he?
Yeah, in Duttlenheim, near the German border. Yeah, he grew up above a pub, so you probably wouldn't know that. But fair point. Russell Kidd says, cancel the weekend's football in honour of the retirement of a Premier League titan, Mark Clattenburg.
Yes. I was about to say, I'm looking forward to see. I mean, is Clattenburg, is the deal done? Is he off to Saudi
Apparently
Arabia?
Apparently he's off there, yeah.
But are we going to see him one more time?
Well, is he refereeing at the weekend?
Apparently he's going.
Oh, that's it. There's
he's
no
going
Swanson.
Before, yeah.
Because that was the one thing I was hoping to look forward
to. Well, the details, at this point, the details aren't fully confirmed,
but they
said he's definitely going before the next round of Premier League fixtures. So I'm not sure if he's been given an FA Cup game or not.
Back for the final.
Yeah, he's. I wonder if he's a bit of a trailblazer, old Clattenburg, because he's sort of the first Premier League referee to almost live his career and his life like a football player.
Yeah.
So I'm at the risk of opening myself up to a huge amount of criticism here. I don't particularly share the derision about his tattoos.
No, I don't care about his tattoos.
He's risen to the very top of his game.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, regardless of what you think about tattoos in general, whether you think they're a bit gauche or whatever, you've got to give him credit for what he's achieved as a Premier League referee.
He's a great manager.
Yeah.
That manager.
Great
referee.
Manager as well.
Yeah.
That's why he's going over there.
He manages the Carls.
So anyway, old Clats, we might not know what we've got, so let's go on there, although that is doubtful. Daniel Hutton Leon says, I'll probably watch some of the football, play some PlayStation and relax. On Sunday, I might meet my mum for tea. We've been meaning to go for a while. We'll go to the John Lewis Cafe because she gets a free coffee if she spends enough in the adjoining Waitrose. I'm more of a little man personally, but let's not turn this into a class thing. So look forward to hearing how you got on there, Daniel. Yeah. Thanks for getting in touch.
Updated on that.
There's one for you, Marcus. Stephen Alterson says, I'm going to Hamden to see the Creepy Crawly Derby. The Spiders v the Wasps.
Or
Queen's Park versus Aller Athletic, as they'd have us believe. So
the Creepy Crawly Derby.
Enjoy that, Stephen. And this one from Aaron Tunney says, Arsenal playing on a plastic pitch. Just imagine the number of season-ending injuries they're going to pick up, to which Daniel Greenford on the Facebook said, their season has already ended.
Oh.
Not necessarily, though.
No.
Not necessarily. They might win the FA Cup for the third time in a few years.
They'll fulfil the fixtures.
Yeah. Well, play it by ear.
Yeah. No 3-0 losses for not turning up.
One thing about the FA Cup, just to sum up why it's so great, is, and I take no pleasure, but I take a bit of pleasure in saying this.
I was about to say, the grin on your face from ear to ear. You haven't even said it yet.
Is that every single football fan worth his or her salt in the country this weekend who doesn't support Arsenal will be willing with every fibre of their being for Sutton to win that game.
Well, it's the same with anyone.
And it unites us all.
Yeah, but in the same way, you can apply that to anything. In the same way, everybody, even probably some England fans, were willing that Iceland would beat England in the Euros. Do you know what I mean? It's just a classic underdog thing.
Yeah, I suppose so. But what I'm saying is, if you, the Premier League weekend, if you get, you know, Man United play Arsenal or whatever. People aren't necessarily... I mean, Arsenal fans want Arsenal to win, Man United fans want Man United to win. People aren't that emotionally invested. They enjoy watching the game and they'll hope for a good game and see some good goals and we all share that. But the emotional investment is not at the same level.
Well, we love a bit of Schadenfreude in this country, don't we?
I think everybody likes an underdog story. But yes, everyone will be supporting Sutton as if they're their own.
Yeah.
Apart from the Arsenal fans.
Will be there.
Apart from Arsenal fans that want Wenger to stay. Excuse me.
I don't think even the Wenger out.
Yeah.
As they say, Brigade would want this particular embarrassment to add to their cause.
I've certainly been in. I won't say who because it escapes me for now. Because Portsmouth have had so many managers, but I've certainly been in a position before where I've thought I'll take a bit of short term pain. I'll happily take a defeat at home for Portsmouth here for the manager to go.
Mm.
I'm sure some of those Wenger out campaigners, or as you call them, Wenger out campaigners. Wouldn't be averse to that in the grand scheme of things.
Maybe.
And I'm not just trolling Arsenal fan listeners here, as I think I am all the time. I genuinely think that probably is the case.
We'll know because they'll tell us with their bed sheets.
Yeah, they will, exactly.
Any more for any more?
Nope.
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. We're of course back at the start of next week to pick apart the results of the games we've just talked about. Thanks for listening. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
That's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.